Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Go to Psalms 101, if you will, and we'll read the whole psalm. "I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house, with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the message tonight. Lord, you know I need your help. And Lord, I can't preach this without the same compassion and conviction you showed me when you showed it to me, Lord. And Lord, this has touched my heart. And I pray that even just relaying the message, relaying the Lord, the principles tonight would resonate. And Lord, would convict. Lord, help the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts tonight. And Lord, everybody in this room is different. Lord, we're all in a little bit of a different place spiritually before you. And only each one of us knows what that place is. And I pray that we would all take heed. And Lord, we can all get closer to you, certainly. And Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would convict hearts. Lord, be with my voice. Help me to say only that which I should say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I'm going to preach on this subject. Are you living in a virtual or a virtuous reality? Are you living in a virtual or a virtuous reality? To help us with the message, I'm going to define those two words. And they're kind of an interesting couple of words to look at. The first one is virtual. You heard a lot about that, right? VR, virtual reality. Anybody ever tried one of those goggles on? Okay, I've never done that, all right? But I've seen people doing it, and it looks a little funny. But virtual, I thought about buying some, but I wasn't going to go out and spend the money just to bring them in here tonight, all right? I guess with Walmart, you can always bring it back, okay? But, amen. Virtual. Here's what Webster had to say about that word. It means potential, having the power of acting or of invisible efficacy without material or sensible part. That kind of summarizes it, without material or sensible part. It means being in essence or effect, not in fact. Being in essence or effect, but not in fact. It is virtual. So basically, virtual is in fact not real. All right, I think we got that. Virtual isn't real. It appears real. It seems like it could be real. It's supposed to look real, but it's not. It's virtual. It appears one way, but it has no substance. It has no measure. It has no value other than maybe the things we put on it. I think you know what comes to mind when we say virtual, right? We're talking about media. We live in a virtual world. TV, screens, those are all virtual. You know, when you reach out and you see the president, or you see an actor, or you see a person on that newscast, that's not the physical person. He's on the other side of the camera. So he is a real person, but the image you see is a what? Virtual image of that person. The image itself isn't real. It's useful. Technology is great. I got to see videos of my sister over in Africa. And that was cool. They showed us a tour of their little house and the kitchen and all the stuff, you know, there. James, I called him the other day. And he got to, not this James, but my brother-in-law over in Africa. He got to lead a boy to the Lord. He said, there's somebody there. He said, there's somebody at their house every day, all right, every day, every time. He said, all hours of the day, people just walk in to their place. And so anyway, pray for them. But they do have a fence around their property, but he said, that doesn't always stop everybody. And but you know what? It's opened a lot of good doors for them. So keep praying for them. But virtual. So I didn't get to see them in person, but I got to see a video, and I'm thankful for those technologies. But let me just read you a couple real quick fact here about technology. And it's always sobering to read these things. And I know that maybe you're sitting in here tonight, and I'll read some of these, we'll get into it. But honestly, you might say, this just doesn't apply to me. I think if you hold on to your seat and you let the Holy Spirit talk, it will apply to you. All right? Here's some TV and media facts, some virtual things. Social media. How much time do people spend on these things? All right? It's scary. And these are old statistics, by the way. You can't get live updated 2021, stuff. Social media, 2 hours and 24 minutes a day, average. By the way, these are averages. So you're going to run across people that you know and meet who spend more than this, all right? Or less, hopefully less, all right? That's 16 hours a week that the average person spends on social media. But that's not counting video games. That averages to 8 hours, 8.5 hours a week for people who do that. Sometimes 6 or 7 in straight at a time. And these are people admitting to this. Television, 4 hours a day at least, all right? 28 hours a week spent on television. That's low, by the way. That is a low statistic, but that's the average. Movies was hard to come up with because there's so many different ways of counting that. But essentially, if you watch just one movie at 2 hours a day, that'd be 10 hours a week at 5 movies a week, and I guarantee there's plenty of people who do more than that. What does that mean? That means people spend a lot of time looking at something that's not real. Looking at something that's not real. It's virtual. And you know what? Listen, Satan's choicest of weapons today in age that we live in are the virtual ones. In some way, somehow he makes it seem that they offer what seems real, but in reality, they don't have substance. They don't bring anything real. They do have a reality to them. We just have to see that on the tail end of it. All right. The result of virtual reality is always a wrecked life of sin and pain and hurt. And it doesn't help. All right, can't help. It only hurts to live that way. But essentially, we got virtual reality, and Satan is putting things in front of everybody, not just your young people, not just us, but me, everybody. He's offering little enticing tidbits that sometimes they show real products. You know, you see a TV commercial, you think, I want that. Well, it's a real product. But not until that comes to your door does that become a real thing to you. And honestly, there's so much fake about all of those. That it is truly a virtual reality. Our illustrations of fake lives are all around us, aren't they? Right? Hollywood stars, fake. What you see on that TV screen is nothing like what they truly are. Facebook profiles, all right? What they put there for their star picture is not what they look like from day to day. All right? Now, I understand. Hey, listen, family photos. But listen, we live in a world of fake, of a false front. Of a reality that's a virtual one. Reality TV, all right? That always cracked me up. There was some reality to it until they put the camera there in the room. And then some of that reality goes away, all right? Movies, etc. But we as Christians choose every day to let these things influence our lives, whether we know it or not, whether we like to or not, and sometimes more than we really should. And in many ways, we actually participate in them. So we got virtual, which means being an essence of something, but not in fact. And then we have this word virtue. This is a cool word. And you're going to see in just a second the similarities. There was a bunch of definitions for virtue in Webster's 1828. But here's some of them. Virtue can mean strength, bravery, valor, moral goodness. I think we would understand that one most often. Here's one. Acting power, something efficacious. Excellence, or that which constitutes value and merit. Virtue has value. Virtue has merit. Virtual does not. It appears to have value and merit. Virtue means power or efficacy or being, and that's what virtue is. Hey, listen, we can see that they seem similar, don't they? The two words are similar, but they're similar to in appearance because of the word they are, virtue and virtual. They obviously come from the same root word there, but they're totally different in their, here's the word, substance. They're totally different in their substance, since by definition, one of them has no substance. And by definition, the other one is nothing but good moral substance. We want virtue in our lives. We got to be careful how much virtual we put into our lives. So that poses this question, and here's my question to you tonight. I want you to think about it through the message. Are you living a virtual reality or a virtuous reality? Obviously, as a Christian, we would know which one we're supposed to live. To get you to consider that, I'm going to change the word virtual and just put media in there. From now on, we're just going to call it media. All right? What has media done to me as a Christian? Now, I understand I don't walk around. I mean, I'm living and breathing in front of you. This isn't a hologram. All right? If we ever have too many COVID lockdowns and all that other craziness, I hope at this point we are going to just commit to be in person. Amen. And here and not virtual. All right? But you know what? Listen, there was a time in your life, and I'm thankful for the people watching right now. I am a virtual image to them. I'm here in person, but to them, I'm a TV screen. All right? And you know what? Hey, listen, I'm not at the end of this message. You know, don't walk away thinking every bit of technology is bad. You're talking to a guy who actually, I like technology. But you know what? Listen, sometimes too much. Sometimes too convicting the amount of power or influence or time. That's the big word. Time. It consumes in my life. And you know where God got a hold of me? The time. The time. Does it mean I don't do all the other things that I'm supposed to do? Of course not. Of course not. Hopefully. All right. If I'm going to serve the Lord properly, I got a lot of other things to do besides wasted on virtual stuff. But you know what? Listen, if you'll be honest with yourself, and if you'll let the Holy Spirit talk to you right now, somewhere in the area tonight, there's something that you have. And I don't, maybe you're just perfect in this area, all right? But you know what? Hey, listen, we're not, none of us are. And we all could be better at being a little closer to the Lord. And guess what? Before technology, I almost put this in there, but I think I'll say it. Before technology, you know what virtual was? You know, girls reading romance novels, okay? Guys reading fantasy books, all right? Virtual was anything that wasn't real, okay? And it wasn't the same as we would think it today, and we obviously have it worse, all right, if you will. But you know what? People have been living in La La Land for a long time, okay? That is, somebody who's supposed to be doing schoolwork and is going, I don't know. They're in a virtual world somewhere up there, all right? And, you know, and guess what? You know, go read the old books. You know what those teachers and stuff were decrying and talking about? The lack of mental focus that some kids had. And, you know, and some of the stuff they would consider what? The same way we kind of poke fun and make fun of those who waste so much time on that. They did the same thing. And so if you're not careful, you'll let your mind wander. And don't do that tonight, okay? Don't do that tonight. All right? I'm just going to give you four quick things that media is doing right now in our culture. And I want you just to think about whether it's doing it to you and your family. Okay, maybe not to the extreme extent that it's presented, but in some way, if we're not careful, we start letting things creep into our life. Then we'll go back to our passage of scripture, which we just read, and find out the solution. And actually, we'll visit. Stay there in Psalms 101, wherever you were. Just keep that open, because we are going to look at some of that as we go. So in this virtual reality, virtual world that we live in, we're going to just talk about the media. When I say media, I mean these things, okay? Social media, TV, movies, video games, game apps on your phone, your cell phone in general, etc. I'm sure I'll miss something. I'm sure there's more to the list. If I just read the list and you said, oh, I don't have a problem with that, then I can tell you probably soon will. Because if you're not careful, all of those things you must come in contact with today. In today's world, even if you, I mean, unless you live literally in Colorado and, you know, you have no power, and that sounds fun, doesn't it? All right, off-grid, okay? And there's plenty of people like that, but you know how many people they witness to a day, okay? All right, and I'm all for it. It sounds fun, doesn't it, to go be a hermit, all right? Kind of sounds fun, all right? Sounds fun to go off-grid and, you know, to go out and hunting for what pastor goes hunting. You know what his favorite thing about that is? He doesn't have to worry about his, you know, cell phone or anything. He just can go out there. And you know what, though? If he did that for 3 months, right? He wouldn't be very effective witness for the Lord. If I did that forever, I wouldn't be a good witness for the Lord. So I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad that I'm here today with you. But you know what? We have to be in the world. We don't have to be of the world. Okay? And so listen as we talk, you know, let the Holy Spirit talk to you about whatever item it is in your life, because it just might help tonight, all right? Let's give you four things. Ready? Four things that the media does to our houses if we're not careful. Number one, media has taken away our innocence and purity. Media has taken away. Here's what the psalmist said right there. Okay, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That means, you know what? There are wicked things that are out there all over the place. And we're not just talking about the one wicked thing you might be thinking of. It's all over the place. Every form of it that you can think of. Darkness, evil, the devil's propaganda is everywhere. But you know what it's doing? It's taking away our innocence. There's innocence and purity, two different things in that sense. Purity would be obviously the physical and the, you know, mental, but there's an innocence that's just lost at an early age more than ever before, and it's I would say 99% media's fault. 99%. All right? Maybe not 99, but it's a lot. It's real high. Okay? Because no longer does it have to be a person's fault or someone else's fault around you. It's the content that kids and everybody of every age has access to, because the devil loves to take away our innocence and purity. Kids nowadays know more about sin than they ever did before in history. And you know what? Listen, I listened to a man preach, and you know what? You ought to listen to good preaching, because some of what convicted me is preaching, by the way. Some of what starts your Bible study is preaching that convicts you. And he mentioned this statement. He said, you know, he started talking about his days as a kid and how, you know, on TV there was only this and this, and, you know, how kids lose their purity now a lot faster, and, you know, the knowledge of sin is more. And you know what? Let me just tell you, I grew up in an age of technology. You know, I'm that transitional generation, okay? The millennial generation is the transition generation between a little bit less technology and now an overabundance of technology. And we know that as teenagers, especially, we grew up in an age where there was a lot of digital access, okay? A lot more than dad and mom had, all right? A lot more than their dad and mom had, for sure. And so, you know what? I can't even relate to the fact that, you know what? Even in a Christian home, I was exposed to stuff that I never should have been exposed to. Never should have had to see. Never should have had to hear. You know, friends you go to school with, listen, there's all kinds of avenues, parents. You got to keep your gates up, keep your guards up. Kids nowadays know more about that. In movie and media of every kind, kids today are exposed to subtle, hear that, subtle ideologies and small sins. Small sins, okay? That's the kind that we got to be careful of. Because I think all the way up to, you know, horrible sins and blatant blasphemies, we do try to shelter our kids from that, but if we're not careful, and if you as an adult and me as a parent will stop and listen to, you better listen to what your kids watch on TV. I mean, you better. I saw something the other day, and it was subtle. It was subtle, but it was there, you know? Now, I don't want to educate, you know, nowadays you got to be careful, because even what used to be okay or used to be good, they're pushing this LGBT stuff in everything. Everything. Now, you got to be careful with that. You know why? My son doesn't need to understand everything that's innuendoed or said if somehow that does happen to come up where we did not catch it or we all are there at the same time. But he does need to be kept sheltered from that. And so I'm not going to walk through. Be careful. You know, you don't have to walk through. You know, sometimes a fault of our generation is we over-explain some things sometimes. All right? You know, every once, you ever been in the store where a parent's sitting there talking to the kid? All right, just tell them to do what's right and just go on with that. But, you know, you've seen it, right? The parents sit there, now, Johnny, this is why and this is why. Well, come on, just tell the kid to do it. And, you know, if he doesn't, punish him, all right, in the right way, okay? The good godly way, we won't even get to that. That's not what this message is about. But essentially, listen, be careful about, you know, overemphasizing things, okay? Don't draw attention to evil, all right? As a parent, as a sheepdog, all right? You know, the sheepdog doesn't say, you know, woof, 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 come here, guys, look at this wolf over here, you know. He chases the sheep away so they won't get hurt, you know. So get rid of it or chase them away or get them out of that zone or whatever it is that it is. But you got to be careful, because even Baptist church kids have learned more about the world than we think from movies and media, all right. Terms, styles, the way to dress, it's in everything. It's in everything. So be careful what you let your kids. So media has taken away the innocence. According to Proverbs, he said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. That was a decision, by the way. A good one at that. Number two, our media has taken away our direction and has become a distraction. This is a big one for us as church members. Look what Proverbs, go back to the psalm there. All right. He said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way, O one without come to me. I will walk. So he has a direction. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Here's the interesting thing. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So that shows me that other people that used to be walking in their house doing right have turned aside. Media does that all the time. Turns aside good Christians from what they once believed because they watched and listened to and saw the wrong things. It changes your direction. It influences your direction. Hey, listen, you know what? Think about it. The media you consume right now in your life, all of those forms, okay? the people you follow on Facebook, the videos that you look up on YouTube, the movies that you let your children watch. It will affect your direction. It may not always knock you off the will of God, but it will lean you one way or the other sometimes. That's what we're talking about. We're kind of talking not about taking the exit ramp. We're talking about lane changing. All right? Lane changing. There's a lot of Christian lane changing. You know, the straight and narrow and the right path and God's will. Well, sometimes we like to change lanes and get a little closer to those advertisements or whatever. Okay? And that happens in your life and mine all the time, if you will think about it that way. But media will distract you. It will change your direction, what you see, what you hear, what you do. Hey, stop and think right now. Pay attention to how many times a day that you pick up, and I brought it in here on purpose, this. Just pay attention. How many times do you pick this up in a day? All right? Is it a distraction? You know what? There are times of day that I keep this around because I need a call. Hey, listen. You know, Brother Jeff, he's got one. You carry it on your pocket. I don't know where you carry it. But you know what? He's out there on the job site. Somebody calls him, wants the carpet done, or has a problem because their dog spilled it on the carpet. Spilled on the carpet. He's got to put new carpet in. Whatever it is he's got to do, he's got to be able to take a call at all times. But he also can't let it be a distraction while he's working. All right? Same thing, no matter who you are, you can't let this become a distraction. And guess what? Just stop this week and think about how many times did this distract me? How many times did this? And I'm not just talking about during times like church or whatever. I'm talking about all week long, all day. All right? How many times a day did I pick it up? What did I do on that today? Right? You know what I did the other day? I stopped. And listen, this is not an area I'm perfect in, but it is an area that I can be convicted in and do what I need to change what's not going right. I looked at this phone and I thought, why did that get downloaded on my phone? Is it bad? No. Is it useless? Yes. Just about. All right. What kind of apps do you have on your phone? What kind of things do you put there? Well, I'll need it someday. Well, when's the last time you used it? All right. What is it doing? Okay. Be very careful. Use it as a tool. It's a great tool, by the way. Great tool. Hey, listen, you know what? We are reaching. I should have brought them in here, but the statistics of people who've watched our YouTube videos, there's more people who watch these sermons online than we take for granted sometimes, right? There are a few people that you could name right now who might not be here who are actually home watching, and that's good. I'm thankful they're watching. We'd love to have them come back here and be part of our church. Some people who can't be here physically, they cannot be here. They're thankful for it. Some people who you'll never see, who've sent money for random things. You know why they did that? Because we're recording this in technology. That's a great use of it. But hey, listen, you know what? It can change your direction. Do you read your Bible with this beside you? Probably a horrible idea. Done it. Okay? Horrible idea. You know why? It's a distraction. And the devil will make sure that while you're trying to read your Bible, that lights up. You say, well, I flip it like this. Okay, then the little light on the back blinks or whatever, okay? And then it starts vibrating. Okay, you know what? Listen, just don't put it on the floor maybe, but that's a good idea. While you're reading your Bible, listen, this should be the, okay? Which one do you pick up first? Hey, guess what? Guilty before. You ever been guilty of that? Yeah. Now, I understand. 2 o'clock in the morning, you get a call, a text, somebody's in trouble. Boy, I'm not going to stop and go, let me pick up my Bible first, all right? But you know what? That's a tool. And somebody might be in trouble. Great. But you know what? When that alarm clock goes off, okay, if it goes off on this, or maybe you got the old-fashioned ding, all right, whatever it is. Does anybody still have an alarm clock like that? All right, come on. All right, good. Okay. The power goes out, you're still okay. All right. But listen, do you open the alarm clock and then go, okay, huh, that's interesting. All right. Be careful. It's a distraction. Is it bad all the time? No, but is it a distraction? Yes. Hey, listen, this is an interesting thing. Our media changes our direction and it distracts us. Let me just say this concerning our children, because this is something I'm guilty of, and I think all of us as parents, sometimes we do this, or any adult. What we as adults can dismiss as fake or not real, our children do not have the same ability or discernment to do so. Okay? They watch it and they believe it, and it changes the direction of their life, at least for the time being, or the distraction of their life. We can look at something and go, that's not real. You know what? That's not a big deal. Okay? And if we're not careful, we subconsciously start doing that with everything. Okay? Cartoon movies. Okay? When your kid says they're scared of that, they're scared of that. I had to check myself the other day. It's a cute little thing, right? Something I watched when I was a kid. One of those things, right? And you know what? My kids were scared of it. And you know what? As a dad, buck up and be a man, all right? You know? But at the same time, why would I want my kid to have to watch something? You know, you have to watch this because I watched it when I was a kid, all right? To an extent, okay. But listen, listen. You know what you'll start hearing, though, when your kids do talk? All right? You'll hear that they consider that somewhat of a reality. Now, you can talk some common sense. You know, kids can be taught. You can tell, you know, that's not real. Oh, that's not real? Okay. Richard's a lot more logical. Where's Richard at? He understands a lot of times when something's not real. You'll tell him. He'll go, yeah, you're right. You know, Chloe's not going to always do that. Eric's not going to always do that. Every kid's different. You want your kid being exposed to, hey, listen, what I'm saying is we better be careful. Because what we think is, not a big deal, might be changing, influencing their direction. Hey, listen, how many of you would say, yep, growing up, mom and dad let us watch some things they shouldn't watch. All right? Or maybe growing up, I saw some stuff that, you know, and maybe you just remember nightmares. Maybe you just remember, hey, listen, you know what? Do you want your kids going through that? Media has a huge impact on your life. Think about it. All right, number three, our media is, we'll take the last two real fast. Media is killing our reading abilities. Why would you read it if you can look it up on YouTube? Guilty. All right? Hey, listen. It's true. I don't really want to read a 300-page Haynes manual to figure out how to change something on my car. I'd rather watch somebody do it on YouTube and then go do it myself. All right? But, you know what? We're lacking in this department. All right? In general. And this is not just, like, again, reality and discernment of an adult. Sometimes we know when to use tools and when not to, when to read about something, when to, okay? But you know what? What you don't realize is your habit of maybe this or whatever it is affecting your kid. And their ability to read and find information and learn is being, honestly, being changed by the amount of media that's being consumed. Okay? And think about your example then. All right? This is where it hits me. Dads, what's the last book that we read? Mom, what about you? Okay? Because we say a lot of that, like, oh, kids, you need to learn how to read. All right? And that's good. School is a great place to learn how to read. They're learning how to read at school. But after they learn how to read, they go home, and if mom and dad are always on their phone or watching a movie, their example is watch a phone or play a tablet. It's not reading, all right? You know when my best reading was? At home on my own, not at school, all right? Now, I learned to appreciate some things at school. I was glad that someone handed me a few things and said, read this, it will help your life. But, you know, do you realize that most school reading is kind of like that sometimes? Right? Read this, it'll help your life. And especially as a teenager, you're like, bless God, I don't want to read that, all right? Because you made me read it. Okay, well, that's another great attitude to have it. You ought to take it as a learning thing, whatever. But hey, think about yourself. This is for us, parents. Did you read the book preacher said to read? At this point, he said it a million times. I'm just going to mention it once. Did we read it? Did we read it? Did we think about it? Hey, listen, did you think about it, forget it? Did you read it and forget it, and now you need to go back and read it again? Because you read it too fast the first time. I don't know. Same thing with the Bible. Do you read the Bible only once and then you're good? Of course not. All right? Of course not. Hey, listen, you know what? We got to be careful. Kids learn by example. What's important to you will be important to them, including your media. Number four, media is ruining conversation and family time. All right? Parents are sitting in the same room with kids but on their phones. Guilty before. All right? Hey, listen, we could all raise our hands sometimes and be guilty. Probably of all of these. Kids watching something, sometimes multiple places, while parents are busy trying to get things done. I get it. All right, TV's not a great babysitter. Okay, I got 5 kids, 5 and under. My wife turns something on to help the kids as long as it's good. I'm like, more power to you, honey, all right? Keep the house clean and keep these babies alive, all right? She's not here today. It's also weird she's never here on the names I preach right now. I don't know. Maybe I'm just joking. Don't tell her I said that. She's probably watching right now. I'm in trouble when I go home. All right. But, hey, listen, dads, listen, it's easy for you to, hey, dads, it's easy for us to walk in and say, bless God, we're never going to watch another thing in our house. Honey, figure it out. That's good. Right. You better help her figure it out then. Okay? You know, and moms, sometimes, ladies, you do have to figure it out. Okay? You know, that's not what I'm not old enough and wise enough to preach on that one, but I'll just put it out there and you think about it, okay? Hey, listen, husband and wives are sitting in bed together at night on their phones, you know, instead of talking to each other, all right? I did hear a message recently on this, and the guy mentioned this thing. He's like, hey, husbands, let me tell you something. It's called a backyard. Get two chairs, put them back there, just go sit. What are we going to do? Sit. Talk. All right? You know, not this. Okay? Can I get you something to eat? Okay, that would be really lazy. All right? But listen, you know why you're laughing? Because it happens. And yeah, life's busy, you know? But you know what? Hey, we're letting it kill conversation. Talk to the... Listen, I'm saying this to you who know, some of you who know better, but talk to the average teenager, and these areas are all dead, okay? And hopefully not in here. But you know what? It's sneaking in here, okay? It sneaks in here. You know, just because you go to a good Christian school doesn't, you know, cure you of the reading problem or whatever, okay? Let's summarize. Let's find the answer and we'll be done, okay? All of these things are the result of wrong use of media or overuse of media. Not all of these scenarios are bad, okay? Not all the people who get fall into them are horrible, wicked people. Some can be allowed and accepted at times. Is it wrong to watch a movie? Of course not. All right? Is it wrong to enjoy some time with your family doing certain things? Of course not. And maybe you and your family doesn't, and them and their family does, and be careful about that, because the easiest horse to get on is the holier-than-thou horse, all right? Be careful. You control your household, and you talk to God about it, and you make sure you're right with the Lord about it, and because one person likes Sheffy and the other person doesn't like Sheffy, or whatever it is, some of you don't even know what Sheffy is because you watch horrible stuff on TV. All right? Anybody in here ever watch Sheffy? Okay. All right. Who doesn't know? Anybody not know what Sheffy is? Okay. All right. They used to do that at church. They used to show. Yeah. Anyway, thank the Lord we don't do that here. All right? There's some doors you don't want to open. Church movie night is not one of those doors. All right? Okay? So, anyway, I don't know what pastor's thoughts are on that, but I don't know if he'd be for church movie night, okay? Here's the question. Do you live a life of substance or virtue, or are you living in a virtual reality? So what's the answer? How do we get back to a virtuous life, a life of substance and meaning, a life worth living? Can we recover from our technology issue? Can the teenagers recover from it? Can the young people who've been directed the wrong way, you know, young people, they'll bounce back really quick, okay? You underestimate your elementary age children, all right? They don't have to have 6 episodes of, you know, whatever, all right? You know, Thomas the Tank Engine or whatever, okay? They don't have to. You can let them watch something every once in a while, but kids bounce back so fast. Teenagers, however, do not bounce back as fast. You know why? Habits formed when they were kids. All right? So let's think about it. Why am I thinking about this now? Why is it so convicted to me now? Because my now 6-year-old will soon be 16. And what I allow him to do from now till then affects his direction in his life. Hey, teenagers, you now have you might have a harder time, but you now have a free will, and you've always had a free will, but you have more of that decision-making, personal decision-making ability in you. And you can decide differently. And that's what happened here. Did you read Psalms 101? Look at it real quick. All right? And I'll give you just these last couple points. We'll be done. All right? 3 things that he did. Ready? Number 1, determined to do right at home. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That was a decision. How do you get rid of the virtual reality? Determined to do right at home. Starts with dads. Starts with moms. Starts with kids. Dads, it starts with you walking through your house. Moms, it starts with you backing what dad says. Kids, it starts with you obeying what mom and dad say. Determined to do right at home. Number 2, get rid of the garbage. Look at this passage of scripture and what the psalmist does in this passage. Look how many times he says, I will set no wicked thing before me. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not. See those words he uses? shall not cleave to me. I will not know a wicked person. I will cut off. That hurts. Cut off. I will not suffer. I shall not dwell. He shall not tarry. Okay? Mine eyes shall be. Listen, all of these are decisions. We got too many parents, myself included at times, not deciding one way or the other. Just say, nope, this is not coming. And yes, this is happening. It's that simple. All right? It takes a lot of guts sometimes. Takes a lot of guts if it's grandma and grandpa or mom and dad or brother and sister or somebody that you're going, you know, you're good friends with. No, we are not doing that. All right? Yes, we are doing this. No, my kids cannot watch that. All right? Hey, listen, you better be careful. That's all I'm saying. And the psalmist made a decision in his house, personally, he was going to walk with a perfect heart. And then he made all of these other, there was results for that. He had to cut off some people. He had to tell some people, you can't stay here. Hey, parents, he had to tell some grown children they can't be doing that in this house. All right? No. And by the way, even if this isn't your house, hey, listen, I grew up, I had a wonderful grandma. She had seven, grandma and grandpa had seven kids. They all had at least seven kids. We've got tons of cousins, okay? Grandma and grandpa, if you're not careful, you'll become so accepting, well, I don't want to turn them away, and that, you know what? Listen, you can say, you can't dress like that in my house. You can't wear that here. All right? You can't listen to that here. Now, I know there's loving and there's taking care of, but you've got to have a line. All right? And this guy here, he had some good lines drawn in his life. So number one, get it right at home. Number two, get rid of the garbage. Number three, and this is where we go back. Go back to Philippians 4:8. This is good. We'll teach you a little song with this verse here in just a second. Set your thoughts daily in the right direction. Remember that direction Satan's trying to get you in? By doing what? What are we supposed to do? Read, follow, and meditate in God's Word. Read, follow, and meditate in God's Word. How do you do that, Brother Young? Well, check the list. Everything you watch, everything you do, everything you meditate on, this is where it really got me. You know, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You know, what is it that I, when I come home from work, what am I thinking about? What am I focused on? What is my goal for my family in the evening when I come home? You know, what are we going to talk about? Are we going to talk about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report? There be any, here's the word, virtue, substance, reality, right? If there be any praise, think on these things. How do I get rid of my problem with whatever? Maybe it's video games, okay? Think on these things. Think on these things. Is your video game true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report? There's not many that fit that list. There are some. You say, Brother Young, find me some. I can probably find you some. I did play some of that when I was younger. Okay? But you know what? I can tell you about those. Even though they fit the list, you can still waste too much time on that stuff. And guess what? I did. And I won't encourage that. Because you know why? It's a time waster. Time gone is gone forever. And you know what? Even if it is true, honest, just, hey, listen, if in your leisure time and your hobby or whatever, that's part of your thing, then fine. But you know what? You better be careful that it fits that list. Hey, you know what? How do you keep right? How do you stay right? How does your home work? Hey, listen, this centering of your attention on Jesus, this meditating on stuff, what are you, realize that most people, their afternoon, we'll call it meditation, but it's just what's their focus on, right? What are they thinking about? Their afternoon thoughts and activities are all centered around a cube of virtual stuff. And that's fine if you have good things coming from that. And you know what? You can listen, you went to church last year, you saw some cool things. It's nice to go back and rewatch, you know, sermons, all that kind of stuff, VBS, whatever. But you know what? Listen, is that the center of your day? Is that the end? Is that how you end every day with your family? Is by watching stuff? Hey, listen, even if you say my kids are all older, yeah, but hey, senior citizens, is that how every day ends? With you sitting there watching six more hours of Fox or whatever, Jeopardy. I like Jeopardy. It's cool. All right. Is there nothing wrong with that? But it is if it gets out of bounds. And if that's how every day ends, we better watch. We better look at the direction of our life is all I'm saying. Hey, listen, there's some ending thoughts. Ready? What do you meditate on all day? What do you think about? What is the focus of your family in the evening? Is it the TV box? Is it your phones? Do we have family devotions? Do we revolve around God's Word? Do your kids like reading? Remember that reading problem? Do they like reading the Bible? Do they like reading at all? If they don't, you know what I said? Hey, listen, my priorities become my kids' priorities. If my kids only see dad looking up information on YouTube or watching stuff, they're going to think that's the norm. And they're going to think this is not the norm. And maybe they see me get up in the morning and read the Bible, but they never see me read anything else. Actually, that's going to work against reading the Bible. Did you realize that? A kid who doesn't like reading anything else will have a hard time reading his Bible consistently. It's a fact. If you're not reading, if the only thing you ever read is this, great. If you can read it enough, keep at it. Okay? Some people can read this enough to where that's just, you know, that's it. But you know what? We have a problem there. All right? Hey, you know what? I want you to think about it. All right? Psalms 19:14 says this: "Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." There's a song. Does anybody know that chorus? All right? Let's see if we can sing it. And I actually added some words to it because I think for maybe a young person, if I left the words on the back. I'll try to sing it for you, get you the tune. But let me get a drink real quick. We'll be done. You can stand with me if you will. Our media is doing those things. It's destroying it. You can go back and look it up. Get it right at home. Get rid of the garbage. Read God's Word every day. Check that list. Is it on the list? And you can watch it. If it's not, don't. If it's questionable, don't. Okay? Is it questionable sometimes and we watch it? Probably. We've made that mistake before. But you know what? Hey, we don't have to live there. It's not a life of substance. We want a life pleasing to the Lord. Here's the song. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, but whatsoever is true, honest and just, pure and lovely, of good report. I will think on these things. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." Hey, that's the prayer, all right? Wouldn't hurt for us kids, us adults, us senior citizens, to keep that all week long and just think, are the words that I'm saying, are the things I'm thinking about, is the media I'm letting in my life? Or I have to be exposed to in some cases. But am I letting it take over me? Am I letting it take my time? What's it doing to my family? Hey, listen, dads, just go home and think about it, okay? What's it doing? Don't be hard on your wife, but do be good together. Talk about it together. Hey, listen, if that's a problem, that can be a problem one way or the other. There's probably one person in every marriage who's more inclined to lean one way or the other. All right? You got to help together and work on that. Get in God's Word together. Fix that together. And you know what? Let's keep our houses, our children sheltered. Let's keep the world. Hey, listen, the media's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's getting more subtle, more evil, and less watchable every day. So let's be careful. Let's be careful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the service tonight. Lord, as your Holy Spirit was moving, Lord, I don't know. Maybe there's just a seed planted in a teenager's heart tonight that when they, as they live their life now, but Lord, as they have children and raise a family, they would look at the person. Lord, every decision in their life can be measured by that verse in Philippians 4. And Lord, the person they're going to marry needs to be somebody who's willing to go alongside in that verse and just say, you're right, that's what we need to do. Lord, their life right now needs to be that way as they go into school year, as they live through the summer. Lord, us dads and moms, we need to look at our children and think that, you know what, we need to shelter and protect them and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look at our media. Lord, help us to look at the reality presented to us. Help us to show forth a good testimony to the world around us. They need to see something that is real. Help me to be real this week to the folks around me. Lord, help us to be a real testimony. Lord, a good light to our neighbors and friends. In Jesus' name I pray.